The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your truth is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Mic check for me, brother.
Yeah, so I don't have a mic this morning.
Okay, lean in again like you did the other day.
Yeah. Gotta bring your mic with you, Jimmy. SiriusXM demands certain standards. We're getting in trouble.
Yeah, I'd love to get one of these.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, you're Jess's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why you're looking a little bit tired this morning, is it?
No, I'm tired. I should sleep.
Did you? Why?
We're recording anyways, Sir Sherms.
Too much caffeine yesterday? Too many late night espressos?
No. Yesterday was a chill day. I had to do the Bayern Munich game. They ended up winning 8-1. Which was, I'm telling you, this Bundesliga is amazing. There's so many goals.
So many goals from Bayern Munich.
I saw Harry Kane's goal. Whew, beauty.
Wasn't that ridiculous?
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, this team. I mean, you just one weekend, get your asses up and watch Bayern play in the mornings, and it will change you. Their football right now is off the chart. I think where they got 65 goals in 16 games.
Wow.
They cannot stop scoring. And their goals are it's incredible football at the moment.
Let me ask you, Jimmy, when yourself and Wheels and Lucas, producer extraordinaire at One Soccer, when you guys are show prepping, you got your whole, you got the rundown done, you're set to go, and then you hear that Fonzie's ill and isn't in the match day squad. Yeah. Was there much shuffling going on before the show yesterday?
A little bit, because we were supposed to talk about him.
And at halftime and at full time.
Yeah, so we had to change a few things.
Thinking on your feet, though.
There was plenty to talk about. Really was.
How was your boy, the youngster?
Oh, Carl.
What's that noise?
On fire as always.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said last week, Jimmy? He said that he's always supported Real Madrid, and that one day he wants to play for Real Madrid.
Yeah, I know. I heard that he said that. It's crazy.
What's he doing?
Do you know the other day, because he's 17, and he was getting his driver's license, and his driving instructor actually dropped him off at training.
That's great.
Amazing. I love those stories.
Okay, can you drop me at my training, please?
It's like the Conor Bradley story from last year, right? When he's making his debut for Liverpool and he's going into school the next day in his school uniform. Conor Bradley, by the way, out for the season. Looks devastating. Oh, wow. Knee injury, ACL, and he's got some bone damage, they're saying, and cartilage damage to the knee.
I heard it's not as ACL, but instead of a 9 to 12 months, it's more of a 5 to 6 month, because it's a non-ACL, but there's still significant damage to the bone.
Oh,
whether
really?
That's tibia or femur or whatever. Yeah.
Okay,
I just read that in The Athletic. Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, you got to imagine that's the World Cup. If, say, Northern Ireland qualify, he's done for that, which is just gut-wrenching. Thankfully, he's so young. And there'll be, hopefully, assuming Northern Ireland can build on this, there'll be other World Cups. And his knee will heal a lot quicker than if it was one of us
having
bone damage and ligament damage and cartilage damage to our knee. I just say, lop it off. It's not going to get better. Lop it off.
Yeah. Lose some weight at the same time. Right? Two birds, one stone.
Does that count? It would count, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
You could still be a fat bastard if you lose 30 pounds having a leg cut off, right?
Yeah. But I think the scale would reflect such a loss.
You know what? Out of all those things, that might be the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. There's been a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, I dropped 30 pounds. Woohoo! Yeah.
I can't stand on the scale. I keep falling off.
But when I do, I've lost weight.
It shouldn't make fun, because sadly, a lot of diabetics do lose legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who are. So you shouldn't make fun of such things. Craig. That's nasty, Craig.
Craig is.
And then they become pirates at parties.
Silver linings.
Yeah. Have you done an intro yet, Sharon?
No.
All right.
No, we're recording. Yeah, it's Footy Prime, everyone.
Did you only notice now?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, I did remember, I think. Anyway, JC's not here at the moment. He'll be editing later on, but the full crew is here. We are going to get to a big question today revolving around Canada ahead of their camp. Well, actually, I guess they're in camp now in Irvine, California, ahead of the Guatemala friendly on the 17th. But let's quickly chat FA Cup, shall we? Macclesfield FC. Not to be confused with Macclesfield Town FC, which is no longer. They were liquefied about 4 or 5 years ago now. Craig, it's statistically speaking, the greatest shock in FA Cup history. 117 spots between these two clubs. The champs, Crystal Palace, are out. What an amazing, amazing day for Crystal Palace, for Macclesfield FC.
Yeah, Rooney's brother, the manager, pulling it off. What, sixth tier?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Well-deserved by all accounts. It's what the FA Cup's all about. We've seen some pretty big results over years, but I don't know if we've seen one this big before. This has got to be the greatest upset ever.
It is, but I think it's because it's Palace and they're champions, right? And those that know the game understand how enormous this is. But because it's not one of the sexy clubs necessarily, it's not a Chelsea or a United or a Liverpool. It doesn't take any shine off for those that know the game, but it's not going to get the play, I don't think, Dubs, that perhaps had they been a so-called Big Four club, which is ludicrous because it's one of the great moments in FA Cup history.
Yeah, and you mentioned 117 places between them and the pyramid, but it's also the first non-league team to knock out the reigning champions, the holders, in 117 years.
Wow. So,
for me, it's the storylines, it's the narratives, it's everything that this brings to the game. Where our last couple of pods talking about, Connor Bradley's injury, and then who was it again? The Arsenal player who moved him off the pitch,
Montanelli.
Yeah, and just how that's endemic in the game, and the distrust, the disrespect. This is everything that's good about football. And it doesn't necessarily mean, like, to your point about it being a big club and it takes the shine off it. They still beat the holders in Palace, right? So this is massive, and this gives hope. This is like the New Zealand team in the Club World Cup, right? And like the stories about the supporters and traveling and all of that stuff that I think is refreshing when the game has become so sanitized, so rife with corruption, so rich, but then you lose a little bit of those stories, a little bit of what makes the game good. So, I mean, the guy who he earns a living packing candles, the guy that finished the game with the bandage on his head.
This is family business in Venice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not really pro players, right? Like having to work an actual job to make a living. And then football is almost a hobby, a glorified hobby. And they're able to upset a team like Crystal Palace. So I think it's really, really cool. And that is what the FA Cup, like Forrest said, that's what it brings. And that on the flip side of all that is like there are always these huge blowouts, right? Man City rolls. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see that, and it's you never know what you're going to get with the FA Cup, and I think that's what makes it so compelling every single year.
And that's the argument against like pre-qualifying for some of these tournaments, and there is to a certain degree with the FA Cup because the big guys don't get into the third round, but you won't get that giant killing potential. Yeah, you'll get the odd 10-1 here and there, but if you get rid of these clubs before this stage, then you don't get this. You know, there's a phys ed teacher as well. Do you hear this one? And on the day before the match, they had a special assembly at school to wish him luck. You know, their semi-professional phys ed teacher.
Yeah.
He's going back to school this morning as the giant killer in FA Cup history. How amazing is that story?
Yeah.
I love it. And by the way, thank you for using the term holders for the FA Cup, Dubs. That's correct. I said champions. FA Cup winners are considered holders, not champions.
But I didn't say it to correct you.
No, but you should have done because I was wrong.
Yeah, but it was a 2-for-1. It was a bonus for you, though.
Like, make a note of it here.
That's right. Okay. I got charms today, January 10th, 11th.
This whole story, though, I mean, you mentioned John Rooney there. You know, this guy was playing at Macclesfield, right? And then Robbie Savage leaves for bigger and better things at, what was it? He's doing well, actually. I forget now. Another smaller club, but more potential. In comes John Rooney, you know, when Wayne's doing the game as well on the sidelines, gets all emotional post-match. Ethan McLeod died in a car crash, the young player, in December, just 4 matches ago. Ooh. And his family's there, and they're in the locker room afterwards thanking every player individually. Like, there's so much emotion. And even the backstory, Jimmy, to this one, the owner, Robert Smethurst, he bought the club during a 4-day drinking binge.
Yeah, I read that too. That's great.
I love this story. Like, this
perfect question for Jimmy.
Yeah,
I know.
He's on the piss with his mates. And there's some online platform where you can acquire, I think maybe property. I'm not sure what, maybe business. But it's just, he just stumbled upon it. His mate goes, hey, you can buy MacTown. Well, not MacTown, Mac FC. And he goes, okay. So he goes, within about half an hour, he'd bought the club during the 4-day binge. Even more reason to love this club, Jimmy.
You know what? It kind of sounds like us when we're out having a drink. We want to buy a football club, but we don't. He actually came through with it.
Mm-hmm. He's a millionaire.
Yeah. I bet he hasn't started a newsletter, though.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Not that big time. You know what? But the FA Cup really is, it's magical. And I remember playing in it. And Forrest, you're the same, where you end up playing the lower league teams. And I remember being in the dressing room, and your final words to all your teammates is, let's not be the headlines come Sunday morning.
It's meaning, true.
Let's not lose this, because if you do lose, it is talked all over the place and you get absolutely ridiculed. But it's so hard when you're playing these lower teams, if you don't get a hold of the game, because they are quite unorthodox when you're playing against them, right? You just don't know what they're going to do. Their movements, their patterns. You know, if you're playing against teams that you're used to playing against, you know their movements and patterns, and you can adjust, right? And you know when a guy's coming down the line or a midfielder's making a run, you know exactly where he's going, what he's doing. But when you're playing against these non-league teams like 5th, 6th division, you don't know where the fuck they're running and what they're going to do next. And it's very difficult. And if the minute that you lose control of the match, you're in trouble. And it's hard to get back into it, especially if they do score. You know, they're never easy games, not at all, when you're playing in the lower leagues. So, you know, I mean, fortunately, I never lost to a team that was 5-6 divisions lower than what I was, but. But it's always great when you hear these stories and you're reading up on them, because it's brilliant. Yeah. You're thanking God it's not you, because those guys that are the headline that everybody's talking about it, you're sitting in the dressing room, you're going, fuck, didn't we talk about this? We can't lose.
It's bad enough if you lose to a team 1-2 divisions below you, let alone 6.
Well, Craig, what was your worst loss as far as FA Cup, Jimmy 2, how many divisions lower?
I think 2.
And who was it?
Northampton, I think, beat West Ham. And I think they were third tier back in the day.
I think I did two divisions lower. I can't remember who we were playing, but I remember we got knocked out.
And you skulked out of the stadium?
But it wasn't a big story, so it was great. But when you go 5-6, then it's a headliner. Yeah.
I never played anybody in the 6th tier. But we did play, well, saying that, it might have been, I think it was Elm Town or something there around Birmingham area or something. We played them at home. And the weather was just atrocious, and it was just torrential rain and cold and blowing. And anyway, they gave us a game. It was 1-1 going into the last 10 minutes. We're just like, oh, come on. And then DeCanio came on. He wasn't even expected to play because we didn't think we needed him. And he came on and potted one late. thank God.
And what about how it can, oh, sorry, Sharon.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what about like all the factors that Jimmy's talking about, from tactics to patterns of play that are unpredictable, but it's the individuals as well. They don't respond to moves or jinx, like you're trying to get around them or make a play. It's that's a kind of a level of unpredictability that exists too, because they don't move like footballers or athletes. They move differently, and that can totally throw you off. But like Palace loses away, right? Like this is in front of 5,000 people. So Forrest, you just mentioned an FA Cup game where it was tight towards the end. Hot under the collar, and you guys end up pulling it out because you've got Decanio who can come on as a sub, but you're at home there. What about when you're traveling away to some of these grounds where that's kind of a wrench that's thrown into the works as well?
Yeah, and often the pitches are, well, they bring cows out for the weekend to make sure that the pitch is in really bad condition. Well, that would be comparable in Canada would be, you know, the Maple Leafs going to play Thunder Bay in the Stanley Cup, you know, knockout, and there was a 2 inches of snow on the ice. You know, that you know, the good luck with that is it can be quite a leveler, right? So, and it's usually a tight little ground, and they got, you know, a few hundred, maybe 1,000 people behind the net, and they're just giving it to you sideways. And yeah, it's
a sloping pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were wondering about that, some of the fans, about how it was a 4G pitch, plastic pitch. At Macclesfield FC, and they just couldn't handle it. What I find wondering, and you were laughing at this too, but like Dub says, you know, these guys, you know, not being elite athletes, they weren't like moving around like we would. Like these are still semi pros. Like how do you, Dubs? How do you look at people that aren't athletes, for Christ's sake? Jesus,
the elite. These are the elite.
Sure. It's like me on the street doing my shopping. I'm like dropping the shoulder, and people are reacting the way that they should, and I just bowl them over.
You would be competitive in the aisles, wouldn't you? I bet you would be.
Yeah. But yeah, of course I am. But no, it is different. Like it's a real thing, and it's not looking at them like through a lens where you're being disdainful of them and seeing them as lesser than. But there's a huge gap though between a pro athlete and an elite athlete. Training their whole life and moving a certain way, kind of doing stuff that's habitual, instinctive, and then somebody who's not coming at it quite the same way and is in it because they've maybe got like a cracker of a left foot and otherwise carrying, you know, a couple of stones extra and, you know, not your highly conditioned athlete. They really, whether you're a man or a woman, what doesn't matter, like you just don't move the same way, and that can totally throw something into the works that gives the advantage to, I think, the lower seeded team or like the sixth tier team.
Yeah, it's so true. It's almost like you drop the shoulder, they don't move, and you want to say, excuse me, why did you not move?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you bite?
Yeah, and it's like them going, well, I've never really seen that move before.
And you're like, come on, it's the move. I'm Jimmy Brennan.
You've got to go with me. Guys,
Guys, I'm sorry to break your hearts. That's not the advantage. Lower league.
It is one of them. God. It is one of them. I agree.
Not an advantage. Oh, watch out for these guys. They're shit.
It's and it's chaotic energy.
Yes. Yeah.
It's obviously not that big of a difference. Or
it's like you in a charity match, Sharms.
Besides, you don't see it from the other side. I'm not even semi-pro, like far from even semi-pro level, right? I could get from one end of the pitch to the other, generally speaking, without hurting myself. But that's about it, right? Very clunky, right? You don't understand. To say that that's an advantage. Oh, yeah, we didn't know what to expect from them. Oh, shut up. No. Not having that at all.
No, that's what the Palace players are saying. We didn't know what to expect.
Well, they were, like, it was apparently a very physical game, right? And Mac FC were very, very physical, as they should be. But again, these are, even though it wasn't a full strength Palace side, it's irrelevant. You should deal with that. Maybe at first. I mean, Jimmy, you said yourself, you play in these smaller, lower league teams. Okay, I can imagine the first few minutes, like, whoa, okay, what have we got ourselves into here? These guys are in it, they're up for it, they're physical. But let's just play our football and we're going to beat them. That should be the mindset, would you not think?
That is the mindset when you're going there. You're just like, let's get the result and let's get the fuck out of here as quick as we can. I remember you like, but you have to understand, like, when you play these the non-league teams, I mean, you're getting changed next door to like the hot dog stand, and you're walking through the fence to get to the pitch. The pitch is on a slope, like stacks of sand. They don't cut the grass. It's you're not playing the football that you normally like to play. It just becomes a battle. It becomes a little bit more direct. It's aggressive. Balls in the box. Every chance they get, they're just lumping it forward. Mm-hmm. It's completely different than what you're used to. Completely.
I heard that Palace actually – Palace gave – they could have split the gate, but apparently Palace gave the whole gate to Macclesfield.
Did they?
Which is a nice touch if that's true.
Is that Macclesfield, right? So 77 pounds. There you go.
Yeah. 5,000 times what? Uh-huh. How much would it cost to get in there?
Ooh, I went, not very much. Even if there's dynamic pricing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're employing that.
Yeah. Tier one, 7 pounds.
Yeah. No, 10 pounds, but you get a free hot dog, as Jimmy said. Right?
Yeah. 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 Anyway, what a moment though. That was great. The draw is the draw today. Probably today after.
Yeah. Right? So it's I believe it's 6:30 England time.
Love FA Cup draws. Brilliant.
Well, how come it says? Sorry, I was looking up Macclesfield's next match, and it's against Woking out of Surrey, and they're already saying fourth round playing today at two or tomorrow at 2:45 English time.
Same what?
Does that make sense? You said the draw. What draw are we talking about?
Yeah, yeah. No, the FA Cup draw.
Yeah. So did they already have it?
No. I think it's today. After Liverpool play today.
Oh.
It'll be then usually. You're probably live in whoever's got the game, right? Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't on free TV. It wasn't on BBC. Usually there's games on BBC, right?
That do the draw. I thought it was on BBC, yeah.
Someone was whining about it. There was no free FA Cup this weekend in England.
I think it was you.
Was it me whining?
Yeah.
It wasn't me, I can promise. I may be whining about something. I probably was. It wasn't that. Anyway, the world knows. If you get a chance to watch it, watch the draw.
Yeah, watch the draw. I think for Macclesfield, what they'll want next really is a big gun away.
Money.
Either that, you know, because the chances are they're going to lose to whoever they get drawn to. You might as well have a big payday and a massive day out for the fans and whatnot. I think that's what they'd want. And the owner, who had a 4-day binge and bought the club.
Yeah.
Be able to run the club for a couple of years on the ticket sales just alone, right?
It's so nice to see a real, I know nothing about this guy. He's obviously done a good job there, but a legitimate, proper sports club owner. Like one guy, I think he had some kind of a car website, online car dealership. That's where his money's from. Yeah. But like he's a regular, like the old school, he's the new version of the old used car dealership who owned a football club, right? The guy in the sheepskin jacket.
Yeah.
Who just sat there smoking cigars, you know, had a few pounds in the old bank and he bought his favorite football club. The good old days before hedge funds and oil states bought them.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way it used to be. A lot of local people would be owning clubs. The same with Ipswich and Norwich and clubs like that are all local guys. They're wealthy for whatever reason, but they weren't billionaires and oil states and what we've come to now.
A face to the club, right? Mm. Not a, you know, a business number. Okay, well, let's get to the big question, shall we? This came courtesy one Daniele J. Wongerton.
It did.
Non-league, sixth tier.
There we go. Charms, can you read that?
Yeah, I can read that.
Yeah, I'm third tier on Footy Prime. It's not a good look.
No, you tell us a question.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were throwing it to me. My big question of the day for the group was the Canadian teams in California, as Charms mentioned, playing Guatemala this week. And who are we looking at to either sustain themselves on the top team of the 23 out of the 26 or to actually step into a place that, hey, we could be seeing them in the World Cup? So I'm going to go Dubs. first. But the you go ahead and read it though, Sharms, because my computer screen is small.
Well, I think people know pretty much the squad, but okay, very quickly. Okay. Noah Abatne, Jivan Birdwell, Zoran Bassong, Mathieu Chouanier, Thiago Coimbra, Mathieu Brienne, Rayan Alumi, Marcelo Flores, Luca Gavron, Shola Jimmo, Richie Larea, Jaquil Marshall-Ruddy, Kamal Miller, Jayden Nelson, Jonathan Osorio, James Bentemis, Ralph Prizo, Jason Russell-Rowe, Jacob Schafferberg no longer on the squad.
Malik Henry.
Yeah, Malik Henry comes in his place. And Joel Waterman. There's your squad for the camp in Irvine, California.
Perfect. So, Dubs, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, who is it that we were speaking to? We were speaking to Tommy, right? And Tommy Wheeldon Jr., great interview if you guys, listeners, viewers, haven't seen that yet. As the long-tenured coach for the Cavalry and CPL, he's kind of called in to this camp with Jesse Marsh, kind of a rotating cast of Canadian coaches who make an appearance at national team camps. And he was talking about the clarity that Jesse Marsh offers as a leader, but also in his recruitment strategy, whether that's dual nationals or youth national team players, players coming in for the first time to get them quickly up to speed with his playing philosophy and his style. So I look at this group and I divide it into three. So you've got your locks like Richie and Mathieu Chouanier. You've got your bubble, your fringe players like Oso, Waterman, Miller, Bassong, and Nelson. And people can come at me there with how I've categorized it. But I think if you're looking at the balance of players, at the players who are unavailable, your European-based players for this camp, I think that's fair to say. And then the third category, I have program depth or youthful prospects. And you've got Gavron, Pantemis, Prizo, list goes on and on and on. And that's where the most of the players are, maybe about 10. And then you've got an interesting kind of subcategory in your dual nationals, right? So we know that Jesse Marsh has been highly successful in targeting and being strategic about the dual nationals that he's recruited. The most recent one is Alfie Jones. Before that, he had Jebison and Promis David. Goodman is another. So Marcelo Flores, who is a training player back in November, now after scoring a brace with Tigres, he had limited minutes and limited success, I think, in terms of his offensive output with the club last year, joins Jesse Marsh and the club, or and the national team rather, in an official capacity at this camp. And Alumi is another one for Vancouver Whitecaps, who is a youth national Tunisian player. So can Jesse Marsh convince a guy like Flores to make the one-time switch, because his three matches that he played for the Mexican senior national team happened before the age of 21. So he can still do that. And I think this is a need for this national team, a player like him, the type of profile. Does he come in, though, and really kind of upset the apple cart in a way where he's challenging quite seriously for a spot in a 26-player roster? I think that's to be determined. But I think he can change minds, and the opportunity is right now at this camp. So my eye is on these two dual nationals at this camp. Cool. That was very long-winded. Sorry.
Comparison? Contrast and comparison? Anyone?
I'd say it's probably the correct answer, really. Right? As far as as much as we say the depth has improved, and it has dramatically the last number of years, and it's half decent depth. Let's not kid ourselves. We're not France just yet. So as many quality players as Canada can recruit, the better, and put more internal competition within those camps. So if he can convince those guys that this is where you should call home for every international camp moving forward, not over in California, but within Canada, then I think that's extremely important. And will a camp without the so-called stars from Europe be enough to convince these players?
We'll see. Craig, what do you got? Who do you have?
James Pantemis. I'm glad to see him in the squad and getting an opportunity. And I don't know if he plays brilliantly well that he'll ever be the starter for the World Cup, but he can certainly make himself part of the squad. And just having a good season at Portland, keeping Max Crapo out of the side, and whether he can command the area and command the box, certainly he can. But that just that little transition into international, whether he's comfortable with it, I think we're going to find out.
Craig, can I ask a question? Why wouldn't Jesse bring in Dane and Max for this camp? We know they're the top one, two. I understand that. But just surely every minute you can have with these players playing in your system, talking to them, is going to be a bonus.
Yeah, and then at the same time, I think he's probably – Jesse's thinking that, you know, they've had long seasons. They're in the off season right now. It's a good opportunity just to let them do their thing, get their clubs situations organized with Dane going to Miami and Max moving, looking to know he's going to move it into Florida as well. So, yeah, look after themselves, get themselves sorted out. They're going to have a lot of things to think about with the national team forward. So I understand at this time why they're not coming in.
I wanted to ask you, Forrest, do you think that Max's move to Orlando City, does that benefit James Pantemis as much as it benefits Max potentially? Because now if Jesse Marsh wants to call him in as that third goalkeeper, somebody's maybe challenging those top two guys, he can do it now because he's not calling two guys from the same club in Portland into the national team camp.
Right. Yeah. You're not upsetting the club so much.
Yeah.
Right.
It's an option.
I wonder. Yeah.
I wonder about James Pantemis, and he's obviously a good teammate. People say nice things about him, and he earned his spot as number one at Portland. But he has to have been so pissed off that every camp, despite winning the job from Max at club level, he was never called in as a, you know, a legitimate contender for the gloves with Canada. I'm sure he'd never say anything, but deep down, I mean, you guys are competitive athletes. That must have, if put yourself in his shoes, that must just grate you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what more can I do?
Yeah.
Right.
Would that cause an issue between you and Max, do you think? I'm not sure. I'm not saying it has, but there must be a little bit of friction there. Like, okay, good luck, Max, when you next 10 days when you hope you do well and don't hurt yourself. Right. You know, there's got to be a little bit of something there, competitive edge.
Yes and no. You kind of understand it. And for the most part, I could say that 95% of the goalkeepers that were playing with me or in front of me or behind me were fantastic. You kind of just understand it.
Who was that one, Craig, that wasn't? You said 95%. There's 5% that... Well, who did you dislike?
Well, there was a few, I guess, but Bernard Lama, the French guy that was pushing to get into the West Ham squad and doing everything dirty behind the scenes to try and get in because he wanted to be part of the French squad in 1998 for the World Cup, which he ended up being the backup for Barthez in 98. So
well done, Bernard Lamb.
What was the dirty stuff he was doing?
Yeah.
Well, he's just pushing Harry, and I think Harry had some kind of deal with his agent too to try to get him in, and because he couldn't get any playing time in France, so they sent him on loan to West Ham, and I was in the first team, and Leslie was a goalkeeper coach at the time, and he was like, you better keep playing well or don't get injured because there's something going on with Bernard Lama, and they're trying to get him in the squad and playing. So,
yeah. Someone close to you going behind your back. Man.
Yeah.
It was a bit familiar. Anyway.
Feels familiar.
What's going to say? But yeah, but Craig, but you never had someone at West Ham who's also a Canadian, who was clearly the number two. Well, sorry, you weren't getting your opportunity with Canada because the number two at West Ham was, in fact, the number one with Canada, right? It was never quite the same scenario. It's just backup politics. That's kind of all it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Who does number two work for?
Yeah.
What was that from?
Jimmy, who are you looking for this week?
For me, look, I have three players. The CPL dubs. Player.
Yeah.
No.
Like a dubs there.
Okay, yeah, let me finish.
God, you're so long-winded.
It's the three CPL players. Sholajima, who's 17 years old, young, talented kid. Noah Batney, he's 21, and Coimbra, 21, as a striker. Right, Coimbra, for me, I think I'm really interested to see how he does. He's a big body. He works the back line. He can score goals. And I just want to see how he's going to do now where he's got better players, so to speak, out wide that can give him service and how he deals with that. Noah Batney ended up winning the Canadian Premier League with Ottawa. He was absolutely brilliant this year. You know, 21 years old, holding the back line. And I would love to see him get minutes and see how he does at international level. And same with Solajima, because that kid there for me at 17, playing first team football, he's such a talent. He's very creative. And he's kind of that little creative player that we don't really have in that national team. And I would love to see them get minutes, only because they're standouts in the Canadian Premier League, but can they get to that next level? And are they good enough? And if they have shown well at the international level, you know, is it time for them to move on now and see where what level that they can get themselves to? Because you notice, like, when you get a taste of something, does it drive you forward? Does it push you now to say, hey, I want more of this. I need to play at that level. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how these three CPL players do, because they're young and they're talented. Mm.
Do you think that's realistic, though, thinking about that game against Guatemala in terms of you're Jesse Marsh right now? Like, is that who you're looking to maybe give them a taste for the game, for minutes, to blood them? Or is it just to give them a sense and a taste of the environment and what is required to play at that level? Like, if you're Jesse Marsh, like, what are you prioritizing in terms of your starters for that match? And then also who you're utilizing as subs.
If I'm Jesse Marsh, I'm looking at these three and I'm going to give them a taste. I'm going to give them some minutes. Yeah, it's great. Come in. Look, this is how we do it at the international level. But I'd be looking for them. These are young kids. Let's give them a little shot here. Because this is what it is for him. I mean, look, realistically, are they going to be in the World Cup squad? No. No chance. They're not ready. But this is a match where it's an opportunity to give players a little taste and see what they've got. Because this group is probably like it's the player pool for the next couple of cycles that are going to be coming up. These could be the next players that are pushing for spots. Mm-hmm. But not, I mean, apart from, also Waterman, Larea, certain guys that are going to be in that World Cup squad. But the rest aren't. And you're kind of thinking, okay, when else am I going to get another shot at giving these guys an opportunity? Because you're not. Right? So for me, yeah, I would definitely give them minutes. I'd want to see them.
It's great for the CPL too.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
You're right, though. It's not about – this camp isn't about the World Cup squad.
No.
Is it? I think Jesse knows his World Cup squad right now, don't you think? Maybe there's a couple of players. If it's 26, 23, that's the difference, right? Maybe if it's 26, there's a conversation there with a couple of players. But you pretty much know who you got, I think. Health pending now. Listen, there's a lot of question marks regarding health right now. So maybe, you have a good camp now, and then suddenly Moyes Bembido's not good to go for the World Cup, then you've at least seen a guy for 10 days. You've seen him maybe in action against Guatemala in January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe those unavailabilities also dictate who you have as next up, but then also who you have as a depth piece to also fill that void if necessary. So I think this camp, as I know I mentioned, like dual nationals and then Marcelo Flores and what he can bring to the table and potentially show out and convince Jesse Marsh and vice versa as well, right? What can Jesse do to convince him to make the switch? But it's about players who haven't been in the national team setup for a while, like your Zorhan Bassongs, even like a Jaden Nelson who's been in consistently, but maybe hasn't performed at the level that Jesse Marsh wanted him to or he wanted to himself, or a guy like Jason Russell Rowe. Right? Like Ralph Prieto, we talked about, like how can he perform? So it's these guys that, or Jaquiel Marshall Reddy, like these guys that like their names haven't been involved in that at the national team level, the senior level for a long time. So can they show enough that they're maybe in that conversation for a 23, 24, 25, 26 roster spot?
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. I think it's more about if anybody gets knocked out for whatever reason, injuries or whatnot, who's up next. I mean, you make a very good point there that that's what he's looking at.
That's why I picked Ralph Prisno for mine, just because with the injuries at center back right now to Cornelius Bombido and Alfie Jones, and with the rawness of Luke de Fougerol, for example, I think what we saw from Ralph Prisno late in the season surprised everyone. He was legitimately a very good player for a MLS Cup finalist. And a guy that hasn't, I don't think, I wonder if Jesse's considered him for center back before. He's really a central midfielder who reinvented himself and didn't put a step wrong. So I think for me, this is a guy who's always been a bubble squad guy. You know, pretty much for every squad last year or so, I think it's fair to say. But can he force himself into more of a serious look at center back? I'm a big fan. By the way, do you remember, here's a quiz for you. Jimmy and Craig, you guys might remember this. Do you remember who TFC traded Ralph Prisso for back in 2022?
No.
It's Mark Anthony Kay. Remember him? Almost like a forgotten man of Canada's squad.
Oh, yeah.
He went to TFC under Bob Bradley. Didn't turn out too well, and turns out to be not a great trade, considering what Ralph Prisso's evolved into. But I hadn't thought about Mark Anthony Kay for a while. Obviously playing MLS, but he's at the Earthquakes most recently. But it hasn't been even... Has he made one Jesse Marsh squad? He must have made one. Maybe one of the early ones?
Don't believe so.
No?
Had a bit of falling out with some of the national team administration at the time, right? With Herdman and when Herdman was in?
He got a red card, didn't he? And they think, forget the story there. He can be a prickly personality, I believe. Hmm. But a good player, though. I always liked his tenacity. He could be a prick in the middle of the midfield.
Hmm. Prick.
Anyway, I totally forgot that.
In the best sense.
In the best sense. I mean, in the best
sense. Dubs in the physical, aisle at the grocery store.
Yeah.
But just one of those names, right? That you look at the who got Canada to the World Cup last time out, guys that are instrumental in that, in those squads, and who's left. Who are, we should do that. We haven't got time now, but maybe just quickly go through the World Cup squad. From just how different time. It looks now. Probably a lot more different than you might think.
Hmm.
We call it the Stephen Vittoria episode.
Where are they now?
We love Stephen Vittoria. What a player. Okay. Wonga, did you have someone you want
to say? I had one, but mine is more on the bubble take. You know, I don't think Kamal Miller is going to be on the squad, but he got called in. But mine is, there's two, is Jaden Nelson. And also, Jonathan Osorio. I just find, like, if you're going to make a mark, Oso has been a captain of this team. Jaden had a great start at Vancouver this year, kind of waned at the back end, but came in and played a little bit of super sub every once in a while and made some differences. Got traded in the offseason right after the season ended. So it'd be interesting to me whether these two can fortify, let's say, 24th and 25th on the team. You know, if it goes to what is 26, they'll probably might do like a junior Hoylett where they get invited along. I have no idea, but like they've been, especially Oso has been such a important cog in this Canadian men's national team transition to kind of a place where they're considered a challenge every match in CONCACAF and internationally. So I would hope that this allows both those players an opportunity to showcase themselves and Jesse to go, and to recognize it too, which gives you, 10 days together can actually change how you look at things, all that. It's not a small window. It's a big window to make your place a little more cemented. So there's
not sure. Last time Mozo was healthy as well, right? He's had some time off. He's
right.
He's been, I think all last year he was battling something or other at some time. Mm-hmm. I think Jesse knows what he's got with Oso, but did you find it interesting that when we asked Tommy last week, the one player he's looking forward to working with, and he picked Oso?
Yeah.
He has such great things about him.
Mm-hmm. And he mentioned Richie as well.
Richie as well, yeah. Yeah.
Great guys.
Great guys. I mean, yeah, you can see Oso just... Whether Ozo's starting or not playing a minute of the World Cup, Ozo's going to provide something to that squad I think. And you do need those glue guys. So I can see Ozo making the score, but he's definitely not a Sharpie.
No, he's not a Sharpie.
No, but I wonder if this North American camp, in as much as it's not really about determining who's on that World Cup roster, I think, as we've mentioned, all of us in our points, that maybe those last spots, like the guys might do some convincing at this camp. I wonder if it's to the detriment of European-based players who are kind of fringe bubble players themselves, and somebody who would be akin to like an Oso is a junior Hoylett.
I was about to say that. Do they bring both? Can they bring both?
I don't think they can.
Right. Right.
I think it's one or the other. And then it might come down to injuries and needs in specific positions. And when you think about an offensive player, I think they're both utilitarian. They're both versatile. They can provide that leadership 100%, but then what they offer on the pitch is different. And Hoylett has that ability where he can play that more offensive role. You can play him out on the wing. You can play him in more central positions. And also we've seen him do both of those things under Jesse Marsh. I think not as successfully, but I think it's going to come down to one or the other.
But late in the game, it's a one goal game. You're up 1-0. You really want to have that option of Ozo, don't you? To retain that ball. He's not going to give it away.
No, he's very good in possession. He really is. Sees the game as well. And you can see the maturity when he plays. You know, he doesn't panic. Yeah. Keep the rhythm in the game, keep the ball. Knows how to slow it down when it needs to be slowed down. For me, look, I like Oso, and I'd like to see him be a part of it because I think you need those types of players, experienced players. You know, going back to this squad, and the more I'm thinking about it, and, for this next match and players that maybe might have an opportunity, and I think I agree with Dubs. I think Marcelo Flores could be one that Jesse Marsh really wants to have a keen eye on. Because he does offer something a little bit different. Now, keep in mind, this kid's come through Ipswich and then Arsenal system. Mm-hmm. He's playing Liga MX. He's 22 years old. He's played in the Mexican national team. The kid is a talent, and he's a very good player. And I think maybe this is one player that he might be keeping an eye on, thinking, okay, this kid, you know, he could be ready and he could offer something going into this World Cup. And he could be maybe the 24, 25, 26 spot. I think it's a great opportunity for this kid now. I'd like to see him, see how he showcases himself.
I think it's great that we're even talking about a January camp, Craig, because there was times when there weren't January camps. They didn't have the money for it.
That's right, yeah. Things have changed. I think, fairly, we talk about, go back to the dual nationals too, that you're trying to entice to come to Canada. It's become easier, not just this cycle because of the host of the World Cup, but everybody wants to be a part of that. That's easy. But I think going forward with the expansion to 48 teams and maybe even 64 teams down the road, chances of making World Cups are pretty much, you know, I mean, if you're not making World Cups with that amount of teams, you really, truly don't deserve there to be there. So I think that that is also something that is players know that there's a good chance that Canada will be at World Cups in the future on a regular basis.
And if nothing else, listen, it provides January international football content for us.
Well, I was just thinking about Promise David and him saying, hey, I'm not going to play for Nigeria. I'm going to play for Canada. Well, Nigeria is in the AFCON semifinal. So these teams that these players, it's not just, hey, I'm making a choice versus, you know, Liechtenstein versus Canada. These are real soccer nations, Mexico, Nigeria, real soccer nations that we're beating as far as choices. And that is the bigger, for me, the bigger kind of the note here is that you're competing against these giants and you're actually getting players to say, I want to play for Canada.
I think if Flores was a regular starter for Mexico, he wouldn't be returning calls to Canada. Just saying.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, but perhaps there's a bigger percentage of consideration in his mind than it would have been 10 years ago. Right. In the past, he wouldn't have even accepted the phone call from Jesse Marsh. Now he accepts the phone call. Even if he was starting for Mexico, he might
accept it. No mas, Jesse. No mas, Jesse.
Yeah. times change. Anyway, lots to get to, and that's we'll cover it all week. We hope to have some interviews lined up later this week with Canada soccer figures as well. Anything else you want to touch on before we go?
Yeah, newsletter. Wearefootyprime.com/newsletter. Please sign up every Friday. Our friend Casey Telford is helping us out, sending that out. And it's the place to be, the newsletter on Friday.
Jimmy, Craig, have you signed up yet?
We're finishing the article.
Oh, yeah. You're contributing to it, are you?
Yeah. Good. Back at Starbucks at 2, we'll finish.
Yeah.
Put our thoughts down on paper.
We should get, let's just get AI to write some articles from the last like 2
Please
years.
Please don't say that. Yeah. Those AI articles are trash.
I know.
Trash.
You can give it time. They're learning. They're getting better. That's the scary part.
They say the same thing over every paragraph.
I know.
They're
learning.
Oh, it's AI. Yeah.
Wonger, don't be mean. That's the article that Jimmy and Forrest wrote.
Oh, that's right.
It was AI. Yeah, what are you talking about?
We used an awful lot of water.
Yeah.
Bastard murderer.
You're a planet murderer.
That's Footy Prime. Like, subscribe, make sure you follow us and tell all your friends about it. You tell one of your friends to subscribe to Footy Prime, and you know what? Suddenly, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So it takes.
So on. And they tell two friends and so on.
Yeah. And it's all about us. So until tomorrow, enjoy your days.
What?
What are you doing between now and tomorrow? Days plural?
Well, there's lots of people.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Enjoy your days.